Yeah, it does mostly, but let's say, let me just throw another example out there. So let's say Adam and I can talk to each other and have soul contact, okay?
Okay.
And let's say that I'm talking to Curtis, but it's not there. But then let's say that Curtis and Adam can talk to each other.
I would say personality gets in the way a lot of times, because a lot of times you've mentioned that we'll focus too much on the personality, especially with a spouse or something, and not on their soul. And when you're focused on the personality, because, you know, I may rub certain people the wrong way until they get to know me, or then other people might resonate with the way I am and who I am. And so that personality conflict gets in the way of the soul contact.
It's not the wrong way, it's in the wrong place, dude.
Okay, yeah.
Right. And Tim and I will get to the end of a disagreement, and I'll be like, well, that's what I've been trying to say all along. He's like, well, that's what I've been trying to say. And we actually...
I think with men and women, the problem is women communicate emotionally, and guys communicate logically. And then
and you'll be happy.
They're speaking different languages.
Well, there's other things in play, like females understand women in a way that men don't understand them, and same thing with men. And so there's certain similarities there that help, but as far as extrasensory understanding, the soul contact is essential. As far as the personality understanding, one thing that plays in a lot is the rays. I don't know how many are familiar with the rays, but we're all creation is done with seven different rays. The rays manifest as the seven colors in the rainbow, the seven musical notes, and so on. And these seven rays are behind all creation. And each one of us have different rays influencing our different bodies. You may have your fourth ray influencing your personality as a whole. You may have the third ray of intelligence influencing your mind. You may have the second ray influencing your emotional body. Maybe the seventh ray of organization influencing your physical body, and you have all these different rays. And if your mind is on ray 5, for instance, and you meet somebody else whose mind is on ray 5, your mental communication will be enhanced. And the same thing on the emotions. If your emotional bodies are on the same rays, you'll be able to communicate emotionally with greater ease with that person, even if they're not that highly evolved. But as far as the more extrasensory perception, soul contact is necessary there, where this allows you to kind of have a feeling about the person and what he's communicating that goes beyond what is spoken. You know. Okay.
We all use that to a degree when we're like reading scripture and different things, you know, to interpret it. You know, that's how we understand it more correctly and find different levels of meaning.
Yeah. Okay, now, so like I say, we have these lines of force crisscrossing, creating points of force. And we have power over how the force crisscrosses in our own beings. We don't have power out there, a lot of power out there with everybody else. So we're competing with all these lines of force that's out there.
Competing?
Yes, competing. In other words, if you wanna make $1 million, there's a lot of other people out there after that million. You know, Curtis and I took this sales course one time, and we got a bang out of this sales teacher. He kept saying to us, "Okay," he says, "those people out there, they have your money. Now just go to them, give them the product, and take the money that is yours." Curtis and I got a bang out of that. We were always saying to each other when Curtis would go off, I said, "Okay, Curtis, go get your money from this guy. He's got your money. Go take it from him."
Got my
money in his wallet.
But you get interesting phraseology from salespeople. So anyway, that if you want to make $1 million or whatever you want to make, a lot of people out there have that money in their hand now, and you got to take it from them if you want to get your million, because they're just not going to come give it to you. You got to go take it. But the problem is, there's a whole bunch of other people want that money too. So you're in competition with all these people for that money. So you have these lines of force crisscrossing around where these other forces are out there pulling on the money, that million that is yours that you want to get, and you got to pull on it stronger than they do if you want to pull the million into you. Okay? Because it's out there. It's out there right now. Your $1 million is out there. But to get it, you're going to compete with a lot of other people who are also after all. Every one of those dollars, somebody is after. So you got to go after it with more power than the other guy if you want to draw it into yourself. So it's like the salesman says, it's your money, you just got to go take it. And Curtis and I used to think, boy, we wish it was that easy.
So the lines of force are... We're competing for the lines of force.
Right. There's all kinds of forces out there that are preventing you from going out and getting what you want. Okay? Okay, I want to go meet the love of my life. Okay, the love of your life is probably a very nice person. There's a bunch of other guys that thinks he's really nice too. So, you know, if you want to get the love of your life, you're going to have to not only find her, but razzle-dazzle her enough so that she thinks you're better than the 10 other guys that also likes her. Okay? Because if it's a really nice person, you're not going to be the only one that thinks she's nice. Okay? So Michael did good. He got Susan. Susan's a great little gal. And there's probably a lot of other guys that like to have a nice little gal like Susan. But
yeah,
Michael worked his way in, and he did what was necessary to razzle-dazzle her. And he won the prize. Okay, so that's what's got to happen. So anything that we want, other people want too. Now there's one way around that, is if there's some way you can like do your own creation and from raw materials, like let's say you want to create a great painting, the basic resources of that painting maybe only cost a few bucks. And you do all the work and you create the great painting. Very little competition, but you, by using your skill, you can create a masterpiece like Leonardo da Vinci if you had the skill to do it. So there are some things that are totally within your power to create, but most of the things that we really want, there's a bunch of other people want them too, and there's competition for them. So we have to eliminate the competition as much as possible. But what we have to do on our end is, first of all, make us a powerful vessel. You cannot obtain anything through the power of the word unless you manifest the God that is in the word. Okay, and the first thing to do that is make your word powerful is to make your word true. When you say that you did such a thing, then you shouldn't say it unless you have done such a thing. If you say, I can do such a thing, you shouldn't say it unless you really can do it. So be careful about your wording. I'm always very careful about my promises. Artie has a hard time getting me to promise things because I'm very careful not to break my promises. And every once in a while, she knows this about me, so she'll say, well, I want you to pick this up on the way home. I want you to promise. Because she knows if I say I promise, then I will actually do it. If I don't say I promise, then I look on it like a goal. You know, I may or may not do it. You know, just if I get time, I'll do it. But if she really wants something done, she'll get a hold of me and say, okay, you know, I want your word on this, you know. Okay. And so she knows how to use leverage on me on that way there. Well, that's the first important thing.